Luke 11, verse 1. Doing a teaching on prayer, I think I better pray. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word. Lord, we can learn so much from you, we can even learn how to pray. Lord, you took the time to pray to your Father, and it's so important. Lord, it's so simple. A kid can do this. There's really not any wrong way unless it's done selfishly. So teach us what you have for us. Lord, we want to pray. We want you to hear us. We want to come into your presence, and I know you want it just as much as we do. So teach us to pray, Father. Teach us to pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. As I said in the prayers, Jesus' custom to pray. And he did it often. And I like that. I think that's the example. Jesus is our example to look at. The disciples let him finish, and then they stood and they watched him, and they kind of soaked in the power of his prayer. I don't think they'd ever heard prayer before until they listened to Jesus pray. So they're soaking in the power of his prayer until he was finished. And the request comes, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how. You know, and I've said that a few times now since coming back from Pennsylvania. It's not how, we know how. Teach us to pray. Prayer meetings are the least attended meetings in any church. And what does that tell you? Billy Graham, he says the biggest thing that he doesn't do is pray. You know, and it's where we get weak. You know, and I have to admit, I always get up in the morning and my day has to start with prayer, but I can't tell you how many times I get interrupted or something happens, or it's easy to be distracted. So Lord, teach us to pray. And there's something about watching Jesus pray that made them want to learn to pray like he did. And my question is there anything inspiring in our own prayer? Now, I don't want to intimidate anybody either. You know what? I used to go to men's prayer on Saturday night, and my pastor would pray, and for the longest, I think it took me a whole year before I'd pray in front of this guy, because I thought, oh, he's going to critique my prayer, which was about as wrong as I could possibly get. You know, I was a really young Christian and everything. Don't think that your prayer isn't as good as somebody else's. That's not right. It doesn't matter how eloquent you are, how much scripture you can recite or anything like that. Is there anything inspiring in our own prayer? You know, and I was inspired by my son praying back there tonight over the food. I was inspired. He prayed for the people who were on their way, and the people that couldn't make it, Lord, let them know that you're there anyway. And I thought that was really cool. How we pray shows how we think about God. In Jesus' prayer, it shows a lot about him, doesn't it? Like the disciples, we need Jesus to teach us to pray. And prayer, again, it's simple. The smallest child can pray, but it's so great that the mightiest man of God, whoever that might be, he hasn't mastered it. And all I think of is just sitting in front of Jesus and opening the door. Lord, Father, I want to pray to you in the name of Jesus with the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I want the whole Trinity involved in this prayer. I want to pray. And it's so simple. Another time, Jesus taught the crowds, it's the same prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And the fact that he repeats it here shows how important it is. And he doesn't repeat it the exact same way. Not at all, as he did in Matthew. Which shows it wasn't a ritual and it's not a magic formula for prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer, I call it the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. The disciples' prayer is Matthew 6 and Luke 11. A lot of people call it the Our Father or whatever. He strongly urged against vain repetition. He didn't want us to use the same words when we prayed over and over and over again. He urged against that. It should be coming from your heart. If it's coming from your heart, you don't say the same thing 92 times in a row. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father. I like this. Our shows that prayer belongs to God's people. And by saying our, Jesus assumed that we would pray together. Think of that. Isn't that just kind of common sense? He thought that we would do it together. So when we say Father, too, it's a privilege, and it shows privileged relationship. How many people can call God Father and really mean it? Not everybody. I wish everybody. In the Old Testament, men didn't pray like this. So Jesus here, he opens up new and greater paths of intimacy with the Father than before, with God. Our Father in heaven. The right prayer comes to God as a Father in heaven and recognizes who we pray to. To say that God's in heaven says he's a God of majesty and he's a God of dominion. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6, it says this, O Lord God of our fathers, you are God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand there is not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. He's a God of power, and he's a God of might. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He sees everything. Psalm 11, 4 says, The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The word hallowed, hallowed can mean holy. It means set apart. So there's no one like God. He's completely unique. He's not just a super person or a better person. Name means God's whole character. His whole person is set apart. Thy kingdom come. We should be praying like this, believe it or not. We should pray with a longing for God's kingdom. Do you long for his kingdom to come? Man, every day it's getting more intense for me. Lord, when are you coming? Here we are, we're in Romans on Sunday, and I'm thinking, as we go through this, how much more can the Lord take before he comes? Thy kingdom come. Pray for with a longing for God's kingdom. You know, we want to see Jesus Christ rule and reign on this earth, and we want it to begin with us, don't we? Everybody's praying for a revival. Pray, start with me. I'm praying, start with this church. Start right here, Lord, why not? The Jews said, he prays not at all, in whose prayers there's no mention of the kingdom of God. It says here, thy will be done. So we should pray with a desire to see God's will done and put first. In heaven, everybody obeys God's will. And they do it spontaneously, and they do it with joy, and they do it perfectly, and they do it without a shadow of unfaithfulness, completely. Believers must pray that these conditions prevail on earth too. Now this prayer puts God's interests first. It's his name, his kingdom, and his will that are primary, and our needs are second. We've all been guilty of Christmas list prayer. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, I want this. God, I want that. And you put a time schedule on it. And can you do this? And here I can tell you how to do it, Lord. I got some suggestions for you. Can you do it in this time span? Will you do it with that guy? Will you do it over there? And God's up there going, oh, there he goes again. But we all do that. Our needs are second. Prayer isn't a tool to get what we want from God. It's a method to get God's will accomplished in us and around us. Think of that. Now, and here's the Trinity too. The Father is the source of all holiness. Jesus brings the kingdom of God to us, and the Holy Spirit accomplishes God's will in us and among us. We see the three greatest things in these three requests. To pray our Father requires faith, because he who comes to God must believe that he is. To pray thy kingdom come requires hope, because we trust it's coming in fullness. And to pray thy will be done requires love, because love is the incentive to obey God's will. Now God wants us to pray for our daily bread. He wants us to pray for practical needs like bread. Initially, in the old days, they didn't think that Jesus was literally praying for bread, praying for sustenance. He was. They had to spiritualize it in a different way. Here he was actually praying for sustenance, practical needs like bread. When Jesus said bread, he means bread. He means daily provisions. Forgive us our sins. Now we need forgiveness from God. As bread is the first need of the body, so is forgiveness for the soul. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. God forgives sins. We forgive debts. What we owe to God isn't the same as what others owe to us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. We constantly plead to God for strength and protection against temptation. And this literally would be the evil one. From the evil one. Deliverance from the evil one. And real prayer always It's always offered knowing how weak we are. Here's the thing too. Years ago I learned, go to God and just say, Lord, I am absolutely helpless. I am so totally helpless. And then you know what he says? In his mind he's going, I knew that. It took you so long. What took you so long to figure that out? You're helpless. You go to him as helpless, he's recognizing, you finally get it, Jim. You are helpless. You need me. You know, when we go to him that way, you know, Lord, I don't get anything that's worth anything unless it comes from you. So we're so helpless. We're so weak in ourselves, and we need to go to him realizing how much we need the power of God. Again, think the next time you pray, think of helplessness. He knows. Temptation is literally a test, and it's not always a proposal to do evil. Think of it as a test. The next time you're tempted, you're being tested. How am I going to pass this test? Either I'm going to submit to God and resist the devil, right? And he will flee, or it's overpowering me, I'm fleeing. We're right in the middle of Joseph in Genesis. Joseph was so overpowered with sexual temptation, he just booked. He couldn't take it, he ran. Best thing he could do. Now, God's promise to keep us from any testing that's greater than what we can handle. And this prayer is simple, and it's brief, and it's an awesome, powerful prayer that's really put simply. But when we try to impress God with our many words, I think we're denying who God really is. He's a loving, holy Father. We should follow the counsel of Ecclesiastes 5:2. It says, God is in heaven, and you're on earth, therefore let your words be few. And I could be guilty of going on and on and on and on in prayer sometimes. You know what? I probably said about half those words I didn't need to say. You know, he already knows your needs before you even open your mouth. And I'm not trying to intimidate you. Don't let any of this stop you from praying, ever. Especially, you know, now or tonight or whatever. Here in verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. You know, the custom of that day was in families, whole families would live in like a one-room house. The room was it. They all slept like in the same bed, on a raised platform, whatever. Oftentimes, all the animals would come in, too. Can you imagine that? You got about 8 kids, 16 sheep, whatever it is. Whichever ones are invited in that night, I don't know what it is. But it must have been warm in there, you know. So they slept together, and there's no way that a man could come to the door without disturbing everybody. Think of it. And we know what it's like getting kids into bed and then trying to get some rest. You get them all in bed and you get all settled down and somebody knocks on your door. It's like, no. Well, this would disturb everybody. What an imposition this can be. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Pretty bold for a man to shamelessly ask a friend in the middle of the night, friend, I need some bread. I want bread. But God often waits for our passionate persistence in prayer. You know, sometimes I don't think we're really passionate about it. I used to pray, I still do, Lord, give me a burden for lost people like a wound that won't heal. And I'll tell you what, he'll break your heart because he shows you every lost person there is. And some of them you've prayed for years. And sometimes what he does is he puts you in the right place at the right time and you're like, you lead a guy to the Lord. There's nothing better than that. It's not that God's reluctant and needs to be persuaded. Our persistence doesn't change God. It changes us. It really does. Developing in us a heart and a passion for what God wants. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. This is a continual thing. This doesn't mean knock one time, ask one time. Keep asking. For everyone that asks, receive. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know, in those days, the bread looked like it could be stones. If you ever saw the little loaves of bread, if you put them all around the ground, it would probably look like stones. Now, there were scorpions, too, that would curl up their shells, and they'd look like a little egg laying there. And then there were fish that also looked like serpents, or vice versa. But he says here, here's what's really important. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Look it. Don't stop asking for the Holy Spirit. Ask all day. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm running out of patience. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to share with this guy. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't get out of bed. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I, whatever it is. Lord, I want to punch my boss right in the mouth. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I know I'm being facetious here, but it happens. We're told to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking. And all three verbs are continuous. Like I said, Jesus isn't speaking about single activities, but persistence. And these descriptions mean earnestness and intensity. And often our prayers are just wishes that we cast up into heaven, right? We just cast them up in the air. Well, here goes, Lord. Well, if you're up there, if you're listening right now, that's not real prayer, though. He says here, if a son asks, etc., etc. And we know that humans should love to bless their kids and would never answer a request for something good with something evil. And if that's how it is with us, how much more will God answer us, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like it? You know, He knows what's best for us. So we can sit there and we can get angry because He's not answering our prayer in our time span, the way we want, as much as we want, or whatever it is. But He knows better than you do, and you got to trust that. That's part of the believing process. That's part of what faith is all about. You trust Him to know better than you. He knows better for you what's better for you. So He delights. I love this. God delights. He especially delights to give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So why don't we ask more? We need it. You know, like I've said, I don't know how many times, keep asking because we leak. We do. Keep asking. Don't doubt God's desire to pour out His Spirit. The problems are receiving, not God's desire to give. And the question, are we ready for His school of prayer? And I'm just going to close with a prayer that Andrew Murray wrote for brand new college students. He wrote this prayer, and I love this, so I wrote it down here. He prays, "Blessed Lord, whoever lives to pray, You can teach me to ever live to pray. In this You love to make me share Your glory in heaven, that I should pray without ceasing and ever stand as a priest in the presence of my God. Lord Jesus, I ask You this day to enroll my name among those who confess that they don't know how to pray as they ought, and especially ask You for a course in teaching in prayer. Lord, teach me to wait with You in the school and give You time to train me. May a deep sense of my ignorance, the wonderful privilege and power of prayer, of the need of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of prayer, lead me to cast away my thoughts of what I think I know and make me kneel before You in true teachableness and poverty of spirit. And fill me, Lord, with a confidence that with a teacher like You, I shall learn to pray. In the assurance I have as my teacher, Jesus, who is ever praying to the Father and by His prayer rules the destinies of His church and the world, I will not be afraid. As much as I need to know of the mysteries of the prayer world, You will unfold for me. And when I may not know, You'll teach me to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Blessed Lord, You won't put to shame Your student who trusts You, nor by Your grace would he put You to shame either. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we're going to sit before You tonight. Lord, if there's anything that anyone wants prayer for, or they want anointing, Lord, they want hands laid on them, to open us up on the inside. Lord, help us not to be afraid in front of each other. We're all brothers and sisters. We're going to spend eternity together. We all have the same Father. We all have the same Holy Spirit indwelling us. So we have a lot in common. We're going to be together for eternity. We might as well get to know each other now. Lord, there's no greater way to get to know each other than to pray together. So Lord, again, we want You to open a door. We want to open the door to You, the door to our hearts, and intercede. Lord, to pray for this church, to pray for this body. Lord, You know that we were buying this building, and we ask You to bless us, to help us, Lord, to meet our obligation come July. Lord, come before us and just hear us, Father. Tonight, We want to come into your presence. We ask you, Lord, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to empower us and move us by your Holy Spirit that we might pray tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.